say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what thing is the most great in witness? Say, Allah is witness between me and you. This Quran has been revealed to me, that I may therewith warn you and whomsoever it may reach. Can you bear witness that besides Allah there are other gods? Say, I bear no such witness. Say, but in truth Allah is only one, and truly I am innocent of what you join in worship with Him. We are being taught to disclaim all shirk. We are being taught to disown people who are doing shirk. Sometimes we do shirk for their sake. People say, oh, come and attend this gathering, you know, just for my sake. The Prophet ﷺ is being told, don't ruin yourself for the sake of people. Believe in La ilaha illallah and act upon it. Those to whom we have given the book, recognize him that as they recognize their own sons. Alladhina khasiru anfusahum fahum la yu'minun. Who is it that doesn't have iman? Who is it that rejects Allah? Someone who's lost himself, who doesn't care about himself, who's not valued himself. And who does more aggression and wrong than he who invents a lie against Allah or rejects his ayat? Indeed, the wrongdoer shall never be successful. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا. And on the day when we shall gather them all together, then we shall say to those who did shirk, أَيْنَ شُرُكَاءُكُمْ. Where are your partners whom you used to assert? There will be then left no trial for them but to say, وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. By Allah, our Lord, we were not those who joined others in worship with Allah. People who do shirk in this world will never admit it. No, this is not shirk. We're using them as a wasila. We're using them to get closer to Allah. They'll never call it shirk. And on the Day of Judgment also, they'll try and deny it. No, Allah, we never did shirk. And look at the words, Wallahi Rabbina. Rabb means one who creates, nourishes and sustains. On that day, they'll acknowledge that Allah is our Rabb. Allah is the one who's giving us everything. For on that day, that affirmation will do them no good. Unzur, just look how they lie against themselves. Look at Allah's contempt for such people. They lived a lie in the earth, and on the Day of Judgment, they'll try and live a lie as well. But the lie which they invented will disappear from them. On that day, no lies will benefit them. وَمِنْهُمْ يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ. Of them are some who listen to you, who come and listen to the Quran. But we have set veils on their hearts so they understand it not, and deafness in their ears. And even if they see every one of the signs, they will not believe therein. To the point that when they come to you to argue with you, but they don't understand it, they can't process it, they can't absorb it. They go away thinking whatever they thought before. And at the end of the day they say, these are nothing but the tales of men of old. Oh, the Quran is backward, the Quran is outdated. And that's what our youth today thinks of the Quran as well. The Quran doesn't apply for this society. The Quran is not modern. Whose fault is it that our youth are thinking like that today? It's our fault. We've reduced Islam to a series of meaningless cliches. Look at the way Islamiyat is taught in our schools. It's always the most boring subject taught. What is the curriculum that they're taught? Innamal a'malu binniyat, and they're taught a couple of, you know, other Quranic ayat. So they go away thinking that that's what Islam is about. Meaningless cliches that don't change your life. The Quran is a dynamic book. It changes our thinking. It changes our actions. This Quran transformed those drunken, illiterate Arabs into world leaders. It was the Quran who made them into conquerors and pioneers in science and medicine. This Quran gave them that izzah. Innal izzata lillahi jamia. All glory, all honor belongs to Allah. But when we don't value this Quran, when we treat it as a burden, something to be read in Ramzan and Ramzan alone, then we can expect the degradation that we're facing today. And they prevent others from him, and they themselves keep away from him. And by doing so, they destroy none but their own selves, yet they perceive it not. If you could but see, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. When they will be made to stand before the fire. You know, if you're standing before the heat and you think to yourself of hell, and such frightening images conjured up, imagine the hellfire. They will say, would that we were but sent back. One more chance. Every criminal, every culprit pleads, one more chance. The child who's failed, the child who's done something wrong, one more chance and I won't do it again. This is human psyche. Allah says they too will beg. One more chance. Then we would not deny the signs of our Lord. وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We would be of the believers. No, it has become evident to them what they were concealing before. Our spiritual condition in the world is our physical condition in the hereafter. If we crawl towards Allah, if we delayed obeying Allah, then we will be crawling on Pulsirat. But if we race to obey Allah, if we sought Allah eagerly, then inshallah we will be running across Pulsirat. But if they were returned to the world, they would certainly revert to that which they were forbidden. Does this seem injustice? Why isn't Allah giving the poor things one more chance? Allah says even if they were given one more chance, they would go back to what they were doing before. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Look at Allah's contempt for them. Indeed, they are liars. And they said, there is no life but our life of this world, and never shall we be resurrected. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Now some people say it, and some people live it. Some people don't say that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, but their lives consist of an endless round of parties and social gatherings and coffee mornings and on, and there's no time for the Quran, and there's no time for the Sunnah. And at the end of the day, there's no time for obeying Allah until they're old. They said that there's no life but our life of this world, and never shall we be resurrected. If we are willfully disobeying Allah with never a thought of the consequences, this is in fact what we're saying, that we're not going to be resurrected. If you could but see, Allah again reminds us, if you could but see when they will be made to stand in front of their Lord, and He will say, أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ. Is this not the truth? Is this a dream? Is this just the threat of Maulvis, as people like to say? That's all Maulvis know what to do, you know, they just know how to scare people. Allah will ask them, أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ. Is this not the truth? They will say, yes, by our Lord. And with what bitter regret they will say these words. Then Allah will say, so taste the torment, because you used not to believe. They indeed are losers who denied their meeting with Allah, until all of a sudden, the awe is on them. And they say, alas for us that we gave no thought to it. How often do we think of the hereafter? While they will bear their burdens on their backs, and evil indeed are the burdens that they will bear. We find that when Hazrat Aisha was dying, she told the people, do you praise me? I am so afraid of meeting Allah that I wish I had never been born. This was Hazrat Aisha, radiallahu anha, one of the mothers of the believers, who spent her life serving Islam. All the contributions she made towards Hadith, and she was saying, I wish I had never been born. Is that the way we think? We read one Salat, we attend one Quran gathering, and we're so proud, we think, oh, how much Allah must love me for this day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said once, the intelligent person is one who analyzes his soul, who does hisab of his soul and prepares for death. And the fool is one who follows his desires and trusts to vain hopes that Allah will forgive him. Oh Allah, Ghafoor Rahim. A scholar who once said, woman sees his sins like a mountain that can fall on him. Is that the way we perceive our sins? We can't even remember our sins. And the sinner sees them as flies that he drives away. You know, something that you brush aside. It's not worth thinking about. Trivializing everything. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبُ وَلَهَبُ. The life of this world is nothing but play and amusement. It's the means to an end. It's the journey we're making to Allah. It's not the destination. But far better is the home in the hereafter. لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. For those who are Allah conscious. أَفَلَا تَعْقِنُونَ. Will you not then use your brains? Sikh, Allah can understand what's making people so ignorant about this. It's so obvious. When we're here only for 70, 80 years, we have to go on. Why then are we just obsessed with this world? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once compared the world and the hereafter by saying, it's like someone dipping his finger in the sea. Let him consider what he brings out on it. You put your finger in the sea, how many drops of water come out? That's our life in this world. And the hereafter is like that entire sea awaiting us. Will you not then understand? Still you don't want to reflect upon it? We know indeed the grief which their words cause you. It is not you they deny, but it is the verses of Allah that the wrongdoers deny. When people make fun of Islam, when people make fun of someone obeying Allah, they're actually making fun of Allah. Indeed, many messengers were denied before you, but with patience they bore the denial, and they were heard till our help reached them, and none can alter the words of Allah. Surely they have reached you information about the messengers. If their aversion is hard on you, and you cannot be patient of their harm to you, then if you were able to seek a tunnel in the earth or a ladder to the sky so that you may bring them a sign, and had Allah willed, He could have gathered them all together on guidance. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So do not be of those who are naive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is the concept of free will. If Allah had wished, we could all have been programmed like the angels, just programmed for goodness. But this is the true test, that in every nafs we find فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. A measure of wickedness and a measure of goodness. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who purifies his nafs, he has passed the test. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who stunts his nafs, who suppresses his nafs, he is the one who has failed the test. إِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ يَسْمَعُونَ. At the end of the day, Allah says, it is only those who listen who will respond. We need to listen to the Quran before we can respond to it. But as for the dead, Allah will raise them up, and then to him they will be returned. And they say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? Say, Allah is certainly able to send down a sign. But most of them know not. There is not a moving creature on earth, nor a bird that flies with its two wings, but our communities like you. We have neglected nothing in the book, then unto their Lord they shall all be gathered. The Prophet ﷺ once said, the gist of which was, on the day of judgment, all those with rights will be granted, even the goat without horns from the goat with horns. In other words, if we have been unjust or cruel to any animal, then we will be punished for that as well. And if animals have been unjust to one another, then they too will be punished for that. Now, if even animals are going to be held accountable, what about us? How can we blithely say that, oh, Allah is not going to ask me about something as trivial as this? Allah says, they shall all be gathered to their Lord. Everyone will be granted true justice on that day. Those who reject our signs are deaf and dumb in the darkness. Allah sends astray whom He wills, and He guides on the straight path whom He wills. Say, tell me, if Allah's torment comes upon you, or the hour comes upon you, would you then call upon any other than Allah? Reply if you are truthful. Think back to the most bleak moment in your life, the moment when you're suffering like a woman who is in labor. Whom does she call out to at that point? Her spouse, her parents, she calls out to Allah and Allah alone. بَلِيَّهُ تَدْعُونَ To Him alone you would call, and if He was, He would remove that distress for which you call upon Him. And you would forget at that time whatever partners you joined with Him in worship. And indeed we sent messengers to many nations before you. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ And we seized them with extreme poverty and loss in health so that they might humble themselves. People say, oh, I didn't deserve this. Oh, I'm so unlucky. How could Allah do this to me? Why me? Allah says, what was the point of these poverties? What's the point of any trial or any calamity in our life? So that we can humble ourselves. When our torment reached them, why then did they not humble themselves? But their hearts became hardened and shaitan made fair seeming to them that which they used to do. So when they forgot the warning which they had been reminded, we opened for them the gates of every pleasant thing. Until in the midst of their enjoyment, in that which they were given, all of a sudden we took them, and lo, they were plunged into destruction with deep regrets and sorrows. So the root of the people who did wrong was cut off. We need to remember the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ defined the hypocrite as being like a donkey who doesn't know why his master ties him up and why his master releases him. Sometimes when things go wrong for us, we never stop to think, what is it that I could have done? Sometimes when things are going smoothly for us, we never stop to think, what message is Allah giving me here? See, we find that in this book, the author says, the West has often pictured the Muslim as cringing before a tyrant lord and submitting as a beast submits to its incomprehensible fate. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Muslim fears God because he is a realist. He does not simply resign himself to the divine will. He seeks it eagerly, and when he finds it, he delights in it. In an autobiography, Muhammad Asad recounts an incident which brings this aspect vividly to life. As a young man traveling through Sinai, he came to an area ravaged by fierce winds and was entertained to a meal by the local village headman. And his host, village headman, says, the wind, it makes our life hard, but that is God's will. The wind destroys our plantations. We must always struggle to keep them from being covered by sand, but we do not complain. As you know, the Prophet, may God bless him, told us, God says, revile not destiny, for behold, I am destiny. And when people say, oh, I'm so unlucky and I was just born with under an unlucky star, never, says Muhammad Asad, have I seen, even in a happy people, a yes to reality expressed with so much sureness. According to Fakhruddin Arazi, the worship of the eyes is weeping. The worship of the ears is listening. The worship of the tongue is praise. The worship of the hands is giving. The worship of the body is effort. The worship of the heart is fear and hope. And the worship of the spirit is surrender and satisfaction in Allah. Through our destiny, God speaks to us, and through our worship, we speak to Him. Everything that happens to us, whether good or bad, we need to analyze it. What message is Allah giving me here? What does He want me to be now? At the end of the day, Allah says, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Whether you realize it or not, whether you admit it or not, all praises belong to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Say to the disbelievers, tell me, if Allah took away your hearing and your sight and sealed up your hearts, who is there, a God other than Allah, who could restore them to you? See how variously we explain the signs, yet still they turn aside. Say, tell me if the punishment of Allah comes to you suddenly or openly, will any be destroyed except the wrongdoing people? And we send not the messengers, but as bringers of glad tidings and as warners. So whoever believes and does good deeds, upon such shall come no fear, nor shall they grieve. But those who reject our signs, the torment will touch them for their disbelief. Allah says that the messengers have been sent simply to give you good tidings and to warn you. Now it's up to you whether you wish to believe or disbelieve. Now Allah clarifies our concept of prophethood. قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِ خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ. Tell them, I do not say that with me are the treasures of Allah, nor that I know the unseen, nor do I tell you that I am an angel. Why is Allah mentioning this over here? Because sometimes our tawheed gets blurred because we start worshipping the messenger rather than worshipping Allah. We forget that the messenger is simply telling us the message. Instead of worshipping the one who is sending the message, we start worshipping the messenger. We place him on a pedestal. We start exaggerating his status. Allah says, tell them, O Prophet of Allah, see how Allah divests prophethood of all trappings of glamour and supernatural powers and angelic qualities. See, Allah is exposing our secret notions of a da'i. Before we listen to someone, we need to be impressed by them. Who is it that we're impressed by? Someone who is something that we don't have. Someone who's special, who's different. So if someone says, I have knowledge of the future and I can predict the future, we're really impressed. And whatever he tells us, we'll accept. Allah says, no, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was simply the intermediary. He is not something to be worshipped in himself. Tell them, I but follow what is revealed to me. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ. Say, are the blind and the one who sees equal? Will you not then take thought? أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And warn by this Qur'an those who fear that they will be gathered before their Lord. When people say, oh, this Qur'an doesn't move us, that means that they're not afraid of the Day of Judgment. Iman in the hereafter and Iman on the Qur'an are linked. When there will be neither a protector nor an intercessor for them besides Him, so they may fear Allah and do their duty to Him. And do not turn away those who invoke their Lord morning and afternoon seeking His face. You are accountable for them in nothing, and they are accountable for you in nothing, that you may turn them away and thus become of the wrongdoers. See, the elite of Quraysh used to complain that we will not come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's gathering as long as these poor slaves are sitting there. Because when Islam came, it granted so many rights to the slaves and the oppressed sections of society. Originally, these were the people who came most to Islam, the slaves, the oppressed, the ones who were being discriminated against. So the Quraysh made this a point of prestige with them, that, you know, if we come to these gatherings and these poor people are sitting there, it lowers our prestige. So we're not going to come if they come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell them, that in Allah's eyes, those poor people are more precious. Why? Because they are seeking Allah's countenance, who are seeking Allah's being. Thus have we tried some of them with others, that they might say, is it these poor believers whom Allah has favored from amongst us? Does not Allah know best those who are grateful? If you look at these verses from 50 to 53, Allah is exposing our secret notions. See, we're very impressed by worldly celebrities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us over here, we have tried some of them with others that they might say, is it these poor believers whom Allah has favored upon us? In other words, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable of you with Allah is the one who is the most Allah conscious. Not the one who is the most famous, not the one who is the richest, not the one who is the smartest. أَتْقَاكُمْ. We find once that there was black sweepers in the mosque. And she died. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after a few days, noticed that she wasn't coming. And he asked the companions, where's that woman? And they said, she died. And he said, why didn't you tell me about it? And they'd just forgotten. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very upset with them. And then he read Salatul Janazah for that woman. What made her so precious? What had she done for Islam? By our standards, she hadn't done anything for Islam. She just used to sweep the mosque. A poor, insignificant woman. We don't even find her name in the hadith narrations. But in Allah's eyes, she was precious. Why? Inna akramakum inda Allah yatqakum. The most honorable of you with Allah is the one who is the most Allah conscious. Allah says, Alaysa Allahu bi a'lama bishakirin. Does not Allah know best those who are grateful? What is shukr? True shukr is to thank Allah for whatever we have, be it much or be it little. When those who believe in our signs come to you, say, Faqul salamun alaykum. Tell them peace be on you. Don't look at their status before you start preaching to them. Tell them peace be on you. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ رَحْمَةٍ. Your Lord has prescribed mercy for Himself. So that if any of you does evil in ignorance and thereafter repents and does good deeds, فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. He is forgiving, repeatedly merciful. Now look at the words of this ayat. If any of you does evil in ignorance, in heedlessness, then he repents. And what does repentance mean? That you don't do it again. Not that you say toba toba and go on doing it. Repentance means you don't do it again. And that's not it. Wa aslaha. He does good deeds to wipe it out. We think by saying one astaghfar, all our sins have been wiped out. No, aslaha. We need to do good deeds to wipe them out. Inna al-hasanati yudhibna sayyat. Good deeds wipe out the evil deeds. Then Allah is ghafoor rahim. Thus do we explain the signs in detail so that the way of the criminals may become clear. The choice is ours. La ikraha fi ddeen, qad tabayyana rushdu min al-ghayy. There is no compulsion in religion. The path of truth has become distinct from the path of error. Qul, tell them, I have been forbidden to worship those whom you call to besides Allah. Say, I will not follow your vain desires. If I did, I would go astray and I would not be of the rightly guided. This is a very important ayat in which we find the Prophet ﷺ is being told that we are only allowed to make du'as to Allah. We are only allowed to do ibadah of Allah. See, ibadah here means du'a. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we turn to for help. So when we read du'as which start Ya Jibra'il or Ya Muhammad or Ya Mika'il, we need to beware. That's shirk. Allah is saying, tell them, O Prophet of Allah, that I can only make du'a to Allah. I cannot make du'a to any other human being, be he dead or alive, pious or wicked. I will not follow your vain desires. If I did, I would go astray. And I would not be one of the rightly guided. People who say, no, we pray to them so they may pray for us with Allah. That is shirk. That's the beauty of Islam. We don't need any intermediaries. It's man and his creator. And that's it. We don't need anyone else besides us. We can pray to Allah directly. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slaves ask you about me, don't tell them to go through someone else. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. I answer the call of the one who calls when he calls me. But if we're busy chasing other people and praying to them so they may intercede for us with Allah, then that's a long-drawn procedure. And that's a procedure of shirk. If I did, I would go astray and I would not be of the rightly guided. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am on clear proof from my Lord. Do we have any proof that anyone else can get a dua accepted by Allah? Do we have any proof that any buzurg or any peer or any, dead person can get a dua accepted by Allah? No. But there is proof that if we ask Allah, Allah will answer our dua because Allah does this in the Quran. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call to me, I will answer you. Tell them, I am on clear proof from my Lord. We have the proofs for all of this. But you deny it. And I have not that what you are asking for so impatiently. People say, well, if we're disbelieving and if we're disobeying Allah, how come we're doing so well? How come we haven't been punished as yet? Tell them that I don't have the azab with me. The decision belongs only to Allah. He declares the truth and He is the best of judges. Say, if I had that which you are asking for impatiently, the matter would have been settled at once between me and you. But Allah knows best the wrongdoers. Allah knows how much respite to grant someone. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. With Allah are the keys of the unknown. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. None knows them but He. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He knows what there is in the land and in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a leaf falls but He knows it. We see the falling autumn leaves. Can we count them? Do we know which leaf just fell or it fell yesterday? Not a leaf falls but Allah knows it. ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but it's written in a clear record. What are the keys of the unseen? We find in a hadith the Prophet ﷺ recited the ayat of the Quran, which mentions five things. Number one, the knowledge of the day of judgment. Nobody knows when the day of judgment will come but Allah. This knowledge was not even granted to the Prophet ﷺ. He told us that it's very near, but he did not tell us when it would occur. The second is rain, the quantity of the rain and when it will happen. And you might say, well, they predict rain. Their predictions are not accurate. Sometimes they take place and sometimes they don't take place. And only Allah knows with exact accuracy when and how much rain will fall. Only Allah knows when our death will occur. We don't know when our death will take place. Only Allah knows what will happen tomorrow. And only Allah knows what is in the mother's womb. Now, some people object to this and say, well, what about the ultrasound? Firstly, we need to realize that this radiologist, I was once asking him about this. And he told me, he said, only when Allah wishes can I see the sex of the child. He was saying, when my wife was expecting our second child, till the last day of the ninth month, I was trying to find out what we're having, and I couldn't, because Allah had not willed it. And most Mufassireen take the interpretation of what is in the mother's womb to mean what that child will grow up to be. Mumin or kafir, munafiq or fasiq, muttaqi or muhsin. Only Allah knows whether the child a woman is bearing is going to grow up to be a Hitler or a Hassan Basri. This knowledge is not shared by anyone other than Allah. Not a leaf falls, but He knows it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth. We can't even tell a grain if it's lying there in the darkness of the earth. Nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record.